thank all who've served today, from our young kids who did such a marvelous job with their handbells and singing. Amen. The praise warriors leading us in praise, our worship leader today, everyone who served, we thank God for you. Every ministry, we bless God for you, for your sacrifices, and we are better. We've been blessed because you've shared the gifts and talents that the Lord has given to you to serve humanity. Thank you so much to all of the musicians, and we just thank God for our Black History Month presentations, and prayerfully we'll be able to do something all year long. We're going to do something. Amen. Amen. We've done too many contributions to the world to try to get it all in 1 month. We couldn't get it all in 100 lifetimes. To God be the glory. Amen. And so we're gonna try to highlight and feature and honor and recognize more of those who have literally helped to change the course of the world through the ingenuity, the inventions, the creativity, the sacrifices that God has allowed them to make and moved upon them to make for us all. Amen. Thank you, young people. As always, you've served well, and we bless God for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, to all of our visitors, we're grateful to have you with us today. It's a pleasure, it's an honor, and we thank you for worshiping here at the Church of God in Richmond today. Amen. Dean Steve, did you want to say anything? Oh, for you. Amen. Okay, amen. Okay. Amen. Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for coming to visit your cousin, but also to worship with us. We're honored to have you. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And there are a number of passages we might visit this morning. I just don't know yet how far we're going to go with it, but you know, we've been talking since the new year began about clarity of vision, and God is revealing to his people that he wants to give us clarity of vision. He wants us to have keen spiritual vision and insight and revelation into what he is doing, so that for many reasons, but for one reason, so that we won't be so worried or distressed by the things that we see or hear about in the natural, because we are aware that God is working mightily in the spirit realm to transform even the things that manifest and that appear naturally. Not that those things don't cause us to observe, be observant and be more prayerful. I mean, you can't observe what's going on in the world and not, you know, have feelings about it, not be touched or moved by things that are occurring. So much tragedy, so much devastation, so much injustice, so much inhumanity. I mean, on and on and on, on and on and on. We see things that are out of course, things that just don't set well with us, because we are God's people and we believe that things should be better. I mean, we do believe that things should be better, don't we? That things should be different. But as we study the scriptures, we also come to learn why things are as they are. We understand that there came a time when those that God had put in authority in the earth because they rebelled against God, Adam, and was deceived, Eve, that he forfeited the lease, as it were, or his right to the perfect, pristine world that God created. And things went in a downward spiral of sin, of decay, of disorder. And that's why things are out of whack as they are now, because of sin. Because of sin in the world, we are experiencing the conditions that we experience. And they've endured for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. And yet, for the people of God, we believe, based on Scripture, that the Lord Jesus came to restore to his people the power, the authority in the earth that we once had. And now that we're walking in this authority, and those who attend here, we've given scripture and messages through the years attesting to the things that I'm saying. If you need more scripture, I encourage you to open your Bibles and read. But you can start in Genesis chapters 1 through 3. If you want to continue to read in Genesis, you can see how after the fall of man, things just went awry and things just went haywire. And generation after generation ushered in more sin, more wickedness, more unrighteousness, more twisted thinking, twisted ideologies, and so on. And sin has a way of continuing to grow worse and worse. But thanks be to God, we have words of encouragement that says where sin does abound, God's grace does much more abound. Amen, or super abound. In other words, there is no comparison. God's grace is always greater than sin. We used to sing a song, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Anybody remember that old hymn of the church? Amen. A recognition that even though things might be bad in the world, we serve a good God. And because we serve a good God, he enables us to have a different, better quality of life here, but also an expectation and a hope of eternal life with him forevermore. And that quality of life can be shared with others, so that they can be brought into a relationship with God and can begin to experience a greater quality of life even when things are bad. And even when there is lack, and when there is famine, and when there is shortage, when there is pestilence, and when there are epidemics and pandemics and all sorts of other things that are going on throughout humanity, God can isolate and insulate and protect his people. And so we want to continue in that line of thinking, because we looked at a scripture some weeks ago from Proverbs, for where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no revelation from God, people cast off restraint. They have no boundaries. They have no focus. They have no discipline. And as a result, the enemy can begin to pull us away from our purpose, or keep us from never ever finding out what our purpose is, which is sad and tragic, because God has so much in store for his people. So in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8, we see recorded what's been referred to as the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. And in each of those accounts, Jesus gives a teaching in the form of a parable to the crowds, the multitudes that had gathered to hear him. The Bible says that he entered into a ship and launched away from the shore, and the people came to the edge of the shore to hear him speak and to teach. And he began to teach about this sower who went forth to sow his seed. And he talks about four different conditions of soil or of the earth into which the seed fell. And then he explains how, as the seed fell among these various types of soil, they had different reactions or responses. And finally, he gave a parable of seed that was sown into good ground. You know, some fell by the wayside, some fell among the thorns, some fell in stony places and so on. But then some seed fell into good ground. And he says that that seed produced a harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And then he said to them, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Later his disciples ask him, what is the meaning of this parable? We're going to read just a few verses from 13, but again, you can also read a similar wording in Mark chapter 4 as well as Luke chapter 8. Matthew chapter 13, a reading from the King James translation of God's word, starting at verse number, let me turn there. Verse number 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Okay. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Why? Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross or callous, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. We thank God for the hearing, the reading of his word. Briefly this morning, in just a little while, I want us to think about what Jesus says to his disciples. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Jesus is talking to his disciples about spiritual sight and spiritual hearing. Because obviously all of the people had eyes and all of the people had ears. Certainly over the weeks we've talked about conditions of blindness that some of the people experienced that interfered with their ability to see either partially or totally, but they still had eyes. They were just void of physical sight, and they still had ears, but there were some people that were deaf and could not hear natural sounds with their ears. But most of the people had physical sight. Most of the people had physical hearing, the ability to hear audible sounds, etc. But Jesus is talking about spiritual sight and spiritual hearing and spiritual understanding of things. And we need to know, as the people of God, this condition that Jesus spoke of to his disciples still exists today in the world today. Countless people are walking around with eyes, but they cannot see the things of the Spirit of God. They have ears, but they cannot hear and tune into the voice and the Spirit of God. They have physical blood pump hearts, but they don't have a heart to accept and receive the things of God. But he says to his disciples, you are blessed. You have been favored. You are fortunate because you have the ability not only to see physically, but to see and perceive spiritual things. You have the ability not only to hear physically and naturally, but to hear and understand the things of the Spirit. You have hearts that are open to receive revelation from God, and that's why you are in the favored position that you're in. Notice they all heard the same things. But he spoke to them in parables, and parables can be defined in a number of ways, but simply put, it's spiritual truths and revelations revealed or hidden in natural examples. So natural stories, examples, accounts of things are given to convey spiritual truths that are not yet seen or understood. So he speaks to all of them at the shore in parables. They hear the parable. Well, okay, a guy goes by, sows some seed. And this seed is falling on different types of ground. And one type of ground brings forth a great harvest. And then he says to them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Knowing that everybody, even though they heard it, they didn't hear it. They didn't understand it. They didn't get the revelation of it. So much so that his disciples even had to ask him, well, can you explain it to us? I mean, you know, we're with you, but please, will you explain this thing to us? And then, of course, one account talks about the fact that if you can't understand these things, how are you really going to understand even the deeper things of the kingdom of God? But let's go on back to a couple of verses, and I promise I'm not going to be long today. Oh, that's funny, huh? All right. Okay. All right. I don't mind you laughing. Just don't speak anything to the contrary because you may get what you say, okay? I'm trying to help you out. We learned that, right? You shall have what you say. So you can laugh all you want, but don't nudge your neighbor. Oh, we probably be in here an hour and a half. I'm warning you. I'm trying to help you out. Okay. Because then you won't have nobody to blame but that one who hunched you and spoke that word that was manifested. All right, okay. So notice he says to them, this was something that the prophet Isaiah had prophesied. That even though they have ears, they will hear, but they won't understand. And even though they have eyes, they will see things, but they still won't perceive and have the spiritual discernment. Brothers and sisters, we all have senses, right? We've been given, we talk about the five senses. Some people talk about a sixth sense. We understand that these senses enable us to engage with this natural world, this three-dimensional world. We can see, we can touch, we can hear, we can taste, we can smell. It enables us to be connected to the earth realm in which we live. I mean, we would feel strange if we could not perceive the world around us in any tangible way. But God so made it that if we're going to inhabit this earth, and if we have assignments in the earth, that we have to be connected to it. But even though we're connected to it, when we receive the Holy Spirit, he gives us the ability now to exercise the spiritual senses that he wants us to learn to operate in the spiritual realm where God lives. The Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God lives in the spirit realm even though he's everywhere. The Holy Spirit lives in us, but he also lives everywhere. Jesus, even though he is seated at the right hand of the Father, he's in us spiritually, which makes him able to be everywhere. And as we learn to operate in the spirit realm, we will have access to things, to revelation, to understanding that those who are merely operating on a physical level do not have. Does that make sense? Are you with me? So Jesus is saying they have ears, but they can't hear. They have eyes, but they can't see. And the reason, he says, because their hearts have grown callous. You know, when you get calluses, either on your hands, on your feet, that's because there's been something that's been wearing on that area for some time that's made it hard. He says their hearts have grown hardened to the word of God and to the things of the Spirit. That's where the world is. Even though most people are looking for spiritual things, they're just looking in the wrong place. Why do you think witchcraft and the occult and all of these things that we see on TV are so popular? Spirit beings need spiritual things. We just need the right spiritual things. God knows that, so he gives us the Spirit. Satan knows that, so he wants to lead us into counterfeit spiritual things. So you have all these shows on TV, Evil and, you know, and Charm, that's old stuff, and all these shows, Lucifer, and all these things wanting people to look into the spiritual world from a skewed, slanted, contaminated viewpoint. And the people of God need to be wiser than that and say, no, I don't want to be dabbling in things that the enemy has designed to pull us away from the authentic things of God. And we've been sharing this in Bible study. Many of these things we think are innocent. And so ain't no big deal. It ain't no big thing. I've been watching horror movies since I was a child. You ain't been watching nothing like this stuff. I'm serious. The stuff now, you go back and look at some of them old movies from Bela Lugosi and all of those. You laugh at that stuff. It's comical. You look at, what in the world is this? You're laughing at that stuff. Because it was not the same. This stuff now, folks, they've gone to another whole level of evil and twisted and demonic stuff. So much so that included in the program, they are actually quoting demonic text. Yes, demonic text and chants and curses and all of this stuff in the program that witches and people recite and chant when they're trying to tap into the occult. So we need to be wiser than that. And realize that, no, this stuff, I can't let my children see this. I'm not going to look at this stuff, even though I think it's innocent. As spiritual beings, we're learning nothing's innocent. Nothing's innocent. Man lost his innocence in the garden. That was the age of innocence. They lost their innocence in the garden. That's why little babies can lie. Little kids lie. They just can't have speak and they can tell a lie. Amen, folks. I mean, y'all, see, we need to be real. Kids lying. How you want it? And we laughing. Ain't that so cute? No, it ain't cute. It ain't cute. If they're going to lie as a little kid, they'll lie as an adult. I mentioned last week, children 3 years old, confused about their sexuality. What? When did you know you were gay? Oh, I knew I was gay when I was 3. How in the world? When I was 4. How did you know? How did you know you were gay at 3, at 4 years old? Well, I was playing with a doll. So what? did you know when you were in middle school, in elementary school? Well, my friend hugged me and I felt some kind of way. So? But that's how the world has warped and twisted even what we feel and perceive and think. So God wants his people to operate on a higher level, a level of truth, a level of revelation, a level of righteousness. As I've said to this assembly many times, there are a lot of things that can't be taught. They have to be caught. They have to be discerned. They have to be perceived by the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus is training his disciples in how to operate in spiritual things so that when that time comes and the Holy Ghost comes to live in them, they will understand what they had been taught. So then he goes on to give them another series of parables. And in these parables, he's talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, teaching them what it's like, what it's not like. And then in the Mark text, it goes on to say, and many other such things did he teach them. Let's go to Mark chapter 4 quickly. Mark chapter 4. You are with me still? Mark chapter 4, verse number 33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Or understand it, meaning he was teaching them at their level of understanding. When he knew they were right for it, then he would give them more. Verse 34, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all these things to his disciples. When they were alone, he explained all these things to his disciples, just like he did with the parable of the sower. Once he took them aside, he explained to them what it meant. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He teaches us and leads us into all truth. Even when we're studying the scripture, brothers and sisters, we want to ask the Holy Spirit to give us understanding and revelation in the scriptures. What does it really mean? What does it really mean? I know what it says. I can read it. But what does it really mean? What are you saying to your people? And God will begin to give us clearer understanding in the scriptures. Revelation of his will. Things that we can see and grasp in the spirit. Apart from what we read and what we heard. Because the teacher, who is the Holy Spirit, begins to teach us. Then when we come to church, prayerful is something that the preacher says or something that's being taught can confirm or agree with the things that we've already been studying and learning and receiving from the Holy Spirit. Before there was a church, God established the family. Before he established the church, he established the family, and that was to be the seat of learning about God. That's where we were to learn the word of God, mostly orally transmitted until the things were written down and then copied so that people could get copies of it. But everybody having a Bible? Everybody having multiple Bibles? It hadn't always been that way. Access on your electronic device. What? No, people would have to sit and listen orally communicated the word of God or any traditions of a people. They were orally communicated. When people could write, when they learned how to write, everybody couldn't read. So things still needed to be orally communicated, or they would go into their place of worship, be it the synagogue or whatever the places were where people went, and someone would pass on the traditions from generation to generation, right? I mean, we still do some of that today. when we talk about stuff from grandmama them and grandmama them and great-grand stuff. We're passing on traditions orally, things that aren't always written down. So we need the Holy Spirit, and thank God we have the Holy Spirit to be our primary teacher. Then it's reinforced by people that he sends that are anointed by God to help reinforce. I hope I'm able to help us from week to week, but it's really the Holy Spirit who wants to be the primary teacher. Okay. So young people, don't discount the Bible. Pull it up on your phones. Use the scriptures. Pray. Ask God to teach us, and then open up your spiritual understanding to really see what's going on, because everybody around you isn't your friend. Everybody that say they're with you aren't. Everybody who claims to be for you isn't. But the Holy Spirit will begin to show us what people's motives and what their intentions are. The Holy Spirit will begin to show you the traps and the schemes that the enemy is planning and plotting against you for your demise and for your downfall. The Holy Spirit will begin to show us how to navigate through life so that we can always be protected and we can be in a place to help protect others. So he says, with many parables, he spake the words unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone. Sometimes we got to get alone with God. We got to get alone and let him, let the Godhead, let the Holy Spirit teach us and make these things plain. I know some things I share some weeks. Sometimes you just got to go home and pray on it and let the Holy Spirit help you and let him work you through it. And let him begin to give us more clarity and understanding. Are you with me this morning? It's vitally important. The reason it's important is that, again, where there is no revelation from God, people perish. People start throwing off discipline. And too many of us have gotten caught up in the trappings of the world and of the culture and of the society in which we live. But God had always called his people to a higher standard of living. God always called Israel saints to a higher standard of living because they were to be the example to the world. Israel was to be the example that drew the other nations and the other peoples to God. When they saw how Israel was blessed, how Israel was protected by their God, how Israel was prospered, how they were kept healthy, and if they got sick, how they were healed and delivered and restored. When they saw their livestock, when they saw their wealth, when they saw Israel's children, when they saw the prosperity of Israel, it was to make the other people jealous to want what Israel had, then Israel was to teach them about the true and the living God, according to Scripture. According to Scripture. And that's how it's supposed to be with us. Now that we are kingdom citizens, living spiritual lives that honor God. Again, Mr. Bishop read it this morning during our baptism for Brother Vashon. She read it where 2 Corinthians 5, that we are ambassadors. God is speaking through us, making his appeal to be reconciled, to be made right with God. That's the position of the saints today. So Jesus is teaching them because they're going to have to be in a position when he's gone to the Father to teach others. And that's how we're supposed to do as well. We're supposed to keep being taught so we can be in a position to teach our families, to teach others, to teach other generations until Jesus returns. That's our assignment. We're to let our light shine, right? We're to be witnesses. We're to be examples for God. Okay. Now, as God begins to give us vision and we're coming to a close and clarify these things for us, again, he's positioning us so that we can have an expectation for these things that he's showing us and speaking to us to come to pass. We can't allow everybody to speak into our lives, because people will try to give you their vision of you. This is, you know, this is who I see you as. This is what I think about you. This is how I feel about you. They're trying to project on you their own vision of you. But the only vision we should accept is God's vision of us, because He's the one who created us. And He's the one who saved us. And He's the one who fills us. And He's the one who has a great purpose and plan and destiny for our lives. And so we should accept His vision of us. And what we're going to find out, or what we found out in many weeks here, saints, is God's vision of us is that when He's finished with us, we're going to look like Him. Anything else is not the right vision. If when this thing is said and done, I don't look like my daddy, I've gone on the wrong track. I don't have the right vision. That one went over somebody's head. So I'm going to come back. If when this is over, we don't look like daddy, we don't look like Jesus, we don't look like daddy, we've accepted a wrong vision somewhere along the way. Bible says when we see Him, we will be like Him. Right? For we will see Him as He is. That's the vision. When God's done with me, I'm going to look like God. I'm going to be like my daddy. And anything else that's trying to pull me into any other direction, it's a lying vision designed to shortcut my life, to cut me off from my destiny and my destination. And we should not accept anything less. Yes, God is working us through the process, but we should stay on the journey. We should stay on the road. I mean, if you're trying to get to New York and you get on the plane, and the plane, you know, some of y'all got these connecting flights that take you to the Bahamas to get you to New York. I mean, it might be all right. But at some point, you either got to stay on the plane if you know it's going where you need to get. Why are you going to get off? And okay, I'll leave it alone. It's still going to get me there. It might take me to some other stops, but it's going to get me there. Might take me all day, but it's going to get me there. We need to stay on the journey. Don't let the enemy pull you off. That's what we're saying. Yeah, you might be moving a little faster than me, but as long as I stay on the path that God has set for me, I'm going to get there. It's when I let Satan pull me away with a lying vision or lying words or a false prophecy that pulls me away from the things of God that I'm now in trouble. So where there is no revelation from God, the people cast off restraint. It takes restraint. It takes discipline. It takes focus to stay on this journey when you've got a liar and a deceiver trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. When a woman, you all know, when you're expecting, you begin to prepare. You start thinking about the baby. You start going through a process. You start wondering, is it going to be a boy or is it going to be a girl? You start thinking of names, where if it's a girl, it's going to be this, this, and this. If it's a boy, I'm going to name him this, this, and this. How, where are we going to get a crib? At some point, we're going to need a car seat. You start planning. We need a nursery. We need something. You don't wait till the baby come and then go through all this stuff. You start preparing when you find out you're pregnant. Well, when God starts revealing things to us, it means we got to start preparing for it. We got to make room for it. We've got to move things around. We've got to stay focused. You know, prayerfully, you can afford. You go to the doctor. You start getting your checkups. You get your prenatal stuff. Everybody can't afford that, unfortunately. It should be a right. Healthcare should be a right. Everybody should be able to have good quality healthcare. We're going to keep working on it, but unfortunately, it's not that way yet. But you do the best you can. You start changing some of your activity. Or you should, right? Right? If you've been drinking, you start stopping. You say, I ain't drinking no more. I got to look out for the baby. If you've been, you know, you've been getting high and stuff, you stop getting high and start saying, I got to take care of this baby, you know. If you're doing crack, you don't want no crack baby. You start doing things. I know that one was kind of out there, but I mean, but you should change your mindset. Because you see something that hasn't even been delivered yet, but you know it's on the way. When God starts showing us His plan for us, it means we got to start changing some things. Stuff I used to waste my money on, I can't waste my money no more. God's showing me something. He's showing me this business. He's showing you that new house. He's showing you your car. He's showing you some things. And you got to start putting stuff in place for it. Got to get some discipline. Or else the enemy will derail us. I share this example either a couple of weeks ago or in Bible study. May have done in both. Where we talked about Samson. You all remember Samson. He was a Nazarite. And he had the long locks of hair. And Samson was supernaturally empowered with strength by God to defeat every enemy that came his way. Didn't matter how many Philistines, didn't matter how many people came against him, he defeated every one. As long as he kept his vow. And as long as he didn't allow the locks of his hair to be cut. Then he got hooked up with Delilah. And Delilah with those tears saying, Samson, you're teasing me. She asked him, what's the source of your strength? And he would tell her one thing. And then she'd go and tell the enemy. And the enemy would come upon Samson. And Samson would rise up and defeat them. You would think. You would think that he would have learned that lesson the one time, but then the second time and a third. How many? Lack of discipline, lack of restraint, lack of focus. So finally, she prevailed upon him, and he told her what the secret of his strength and power was. And then she cut his hair while he was asleep, told the enemy, and when they came in, he rose up like every other time. But this time, his strength, the anointing, the power was gone. And he was captured and chained. They gouged out his eyes, vision. Gouged out his eyes and chained, but he asked them to chain him to the column. You know the account. And finally, he had one final victory against the enemies. But what a sad ending. Because he lacked restraint. He lacked discipline. He lost focus. Brothers and sisters, don't think it can't happen to us. Anointed, but undisciplined. Highly favored by God, but no restraint. Prophets, visionaries, seers. But again, nothing to focus and direct us. We have to get back in line with the will of God. And remember that certain things we just aren't beneficial. I think the last example I did give last week was with Nehemiah, wasn't it? I did mention that last week. Did I mention Nehemiah to y'all? Yeah, I did. Yeah. Y'all may not remember, but I remember. Because I've got a perfect memory in Jesus. It'll come to you. If you don't remember, get the tape. When Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. And I can't come down. Y'all remember now? I know I said it in Bible study, but I said it in church too. Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. Can't come down. What I'm doing is too important. I can't be pulled away. You're not going to distract me from what God has called me to do. Anybody getting this? I'm not going to lose focus on my assignment. This temple, these gates have to be rebuilt, and God has given me this desire and burning to get it done, and I can't let anything stop me from fulfilling what God has called me to do. Young people, the rest of us, when are we going to get that conviction and that tenacity that this pedestal, I can't let you stop me. God is beginning to show me what he wants me to do, and I'm not going to let the enemy pull me away. Not going to let that old friend that only pops up when you're about to do something for God, that shows up and pulls you away from your breakthrough, from the fulfillment of the vision. Something to think about as we wrap up. Young people, you can start now. No, this is Youth Sunday. You can start now. Numbers of people in the Bible, God used them, touched them at an early age. And you know you're blessed, but you're pulled away from the influences of the world. Even now, we gave the message, but I know some folks, before the night is over, they're going to want to look at some scary movies. Then they're not going to be able to sleep at night. Then they're going to, every little creak, they're going to be scared. And, you know, then you know, old big kids going to come run and jump in your bed. What you doing in my bed? You too big. I'm scared. What you scared of? Oh, I watched this crazy movie on TV. Now I got to go, can't go to sleep without the lights being on. The enemy, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So if you're afraid, where'd that spirit come from? Didn't come from God. Came from the enemy. That's why even now when we're in Bible study and we're going and somebody says how powerful Satan is, I correct it right there. Because I don't want that image to stay in the saints' head. Satan has zero power over the children of God unless we give it to him. Zero unless we yield it to him. Jesus took it all back. Jesus put him to an open shame, the scripture says. Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he may have power somewhere else, but only if we allow him will he have any power over us. Now we need to be aware of his devices, and we need to know how to stand steadfastly against him. The scripture says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I've seen nowhere in the text where it tells Christians to run from the devil, be afraid from the devil, hide from the devil, glorify the devil, bow down to the devil. Nowhere. It says rebuke the devil. Resist the devil. Cast out the devil. Are we reading the same Bible? Jesus gave them power over all unclean spirits, over all the works of the devil, sickness, disease, death. Get the vision and then have an expectation that if I submit to God and resist the devil, he'll flee from me according to the word of God. Get the revelation that God sent his word and healed us according to Psalm 107 and 20. Get the revelation that by his stripes I am healed according to Isaiah chapter 53. Get the revelation that in his presence is the fullness of joy and his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Get the revelation that every time we come together, God is in our midst right now, and expect it. Expect it. Thank you, sir. Expect it. We're getting ready to give an invitation. We're getting ready to pray. God wants his people to have an expectation. See, the good thing about God, folks, is that for us, male and female, we are all both receivers. We are both receivers. What do you mean by that? In our anatomy, male and female, the woman is the receiver. She is the receiver, right? The man is the transmitter. The woman is the receiver. But in the kingdom of God, male and females are receivers. And God is going to transmit. Today we need to have an expectation. I'm about to get pregnant with something. Yes, I'm a full grown man and I'm about to get pregnant with a revelation from God, with a vision from God, with something God is saying. And that thing, I'm going to bring that thing to manifestation. I'm going to birth out this vision. I'm going to bring this thing to full manifestation. You're a grown man. Why are you walking around like this? I'm pregnant. That's why I'm pregnant. That's why I'm walking like this. I can't wait for the baby to drop. This thing about to be birthed. You got to get that vision. You got to get that revelation. I'm coming out of this thing. God has already shown me. I'm about to go into my wealthy place. God has already shown me that I'm about to be healed and delivered and restored. God has already shown me I'm about to be married to my Boaz. I'm about to be God has already shown me this thing. And I'm going to get focused on it. I'm going to make room for it. I'm going to prepare for it. No, I can't do that no more. I'm working on something. Come on down. No, I can't go there no more. I'm working on something. Come on, let's go get high. No, I ain't getting high no more. I'm working on something. Come on, let's go. No, I need my money right now. I'm working on something. God's about to birth that vision, or birth that business, birth that company, birth that, he's about to give that thing for. You better get ready. I can't do it like Bishop Jakes, but he said, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. You better get ready for this thing. Hallelujah. Amen. We're done. Somebody give God a praise in here. Get that vision. Get that revelation for your family.